I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounoulakis. She'll share her aspirations growing up, what she hopes to accomplish while in office, and her experience when she visited the Inland Empire. Then I'll speak with Debbie Schnorr, also known as the Garden Lady. I've been asking how your lifestyle has changed due to the coronavirus, and Debbie reached out to me with her story. Debbie is a Food Corps service member and teaches nutrition and gardening to elementary school children. She'll talk about how she continues to educate children outside of the physical classroom with her remote garden and on her YouTube channel. But first, my conversation with the Lieutenant Governor of California, Eleni Kounoulakis. Welcome.
Thank you, Lillian. It's great to be with you.
Let me just ask, where did you grow up and what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Lillian, thank you for asking. I grew up here in Sacramento, and I grew up in a very vibrant Greek-American community. I also grew up in, it was a rural part of Sacramento County at the time. Hmm. So, you know, we were surrounded by wheat fields that were sometimes pumpkin patches. And I really enjoyed that kind of rural upbringing. And in fact, my family still, we are very engaged in farming. And I consider the valley sort of where I'm from. And I worked in housing with my family business for many years. And then went to, when I married my husband, he's from San Francisco. And so I have this sort of dual city life. I'm from Sacramento and I grew up in the rural part of the state. But I also have had now many years living in San Francisco. But, you know, my father is an immigrant. He came when he was 14 to the United States and landed in the Central Valley in Lodi as a farm worker and had the opportunity to go get an education at Sacramento State University. And that education changed the trajectory of his life and my life and my children's life. And I've had this opportunity to walk the pathway of the American dream like so many other Californians. And I know that that opportunity is truly what makes California the golden state that it is.
So did you want to be lieutenant governor when you were a little girl, or were you going to run your company business, or what did you want to do?
You know, I will tell you, I'm really open about this. There were a lot of gender stereotypes when I grew up, and I felt a lot of pressure, and really the vision that was usually held in front of me is that, you know, there are the nice boys at church, and I should pick one and think about having a family one day. And though I didn't reject the vision of being a mother, and being a mother has been the most fulfilling thing I've done in my life,
sure.
But I saw outside of my own family or community through, you know, my teachers at school who would talk about women, business women, other things that women did. And something sparked in me that that I wanted to be a person who was part of this bigger community and conversation about the world around us. And so I didn't have any particular my imagination honestly was not enough that I could think that I would one day have the opportunities that I've had, but I did feel this draw to participate and to have a voice in the world around me, and that's led to some pretty incredible opportunities, and I've been really grateful to have them.
You wrote your memoir at a very early age. I'm guessing you're going to have to write a follow-up.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think that people say everyone's got one book in them. That book, so I was a United States ambassador. I was 43 years old when I was sworn in, one of the youngest women in history.
Right.
There's been plenty of, you know, under 43-year-old men, but I think the youngest at the time was maybe 42 for women. And it was an extraordinary experience. You know, I grew up in a very profoundly patriotic family, and I think many immigrant families can say the same, because we knew the opportunities that we were given that we would not have had if our family had stayed in Greece in the post-war period as villagers and farmers.
Mm.
And So to represent the United States of America as a senior U.S. government official, to run an embassy, to speak for the United States, it really was profound to me. And when I came back, what I wanted to do was, it was a memoir about my life, but it was really more trying to answer the questions that I'd been asked. How do you become a U.S. ambassador? What does a U.S. ambassador do? What does the United States do in the world that makes us the leader of the free world? And then I also had the chance to go to Afghanistan 2 times. And what I learned and understood about the U.S. military and what our military does and how extraordinary their commitment to our country is, all of that, those things were things that I felt that I wanted to write down for my family and for my friends, but also for anyone who might be interested. So it was really a labor of love. And, you know, if at one point in my future it overtakes me again that I feel that I have something to say, who knows?
I want to ask you something that's very important to me. When you were running for office, you visited all 58 counties. What did you learn, or what was your takeaway about the Inland Empire?
So it was transformative to spend time in the Inland Empire. You know, I spent some time meeting with business people and really getting an understanding of how much economic development, how much manufacturing, how much was going on in the Inland Empire around international trade, and supply lines that make their way through that part of the state. I spent time with Mayor Aquanetta.
Fontana.
You must know her. What a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. She was great and spent a lot of time helping me understand the importance of economic development. I've also since then, I mean, that's really, honestly, that was a big part of the takeaway when I was on the road. But since then, I've also come to see how important expanding higher education opportunities in the Inland Empire are. The CSU has several satellites, of course. UC Riverside is an extremely important part of the community there, expanding access to health care through the UC Riverside and the medical program that's underway.
Right.
All of that has been very important. But, you know, it's an incredibly beautiful part of the state. I know it's a little further afield, but I spend time when I can down in the desert. I am not shy about it. I think that I really do believe Palm Springs is one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Maybe it's because it reminds me so much of Greece with the climate and the landscape, but I just feel so at home in that part of California and enjoy spending time there as much as I can, even just to recreate and hike and go out to Joshua Tree and just enjoy the climate and the culture there.
Well, I agree with you. I love Palm Springs, and I love Greece. It was a wonderful country to visit. It's so beautiful. My last question for you is, what do you want to get accomplished while sitting in the lieutenant governor's seat?
So higher education has really been a major focus for me.
Okay.
Again, as I mentioned, I'm very well aware. You know, Lillian, my grandmother never learned to read. She never learned to read or write. My husband's grandmother, both of his grandmothers, and his family comes from Greece as well, neither of them learned to read. I live with a constant awareness of what education and the American system of democracy have meant for me and for my family. It's meant everything. It's meant everything. Not just, you know, the pleasure of, you know, I was an English major and I love to read and read novels and poetry and philosophy. But really even just the practical things. I went to Sac State when I was in high school. I took extended education classes, basic kinds of training that you get that allow you to be able to exercise skills, to be able to get a job. These things are incredibly important in our state. And my hope is that as Lieutenant Governor, I can elevate this role as a really important place where thinking on providing additional expanded access to public higher education is housed. And then finally, as a former U.S. ambassador, the governor asked me to serve as his representative for international affairs and trade. California's voice on the world stage is more important than ever. We went into this crisis, the fifth largest economy in the world. Our recovery needs to ensure that we're back on top as the fifth largest economy in the world. And our voice on the world stage around things like combating climate change and our values around how immigration has shaped us and expanded our economy and given us the kind of culture that brings so many cultures together. 27% of Californians are foreign-born. It enriches our society. It makes us tolerant of each other's differences. We celebrate our differences. And all of that has allowed us to produce, you know, the birthplace of innovation and technology. So I think, you know, the California dream is worth investing in, and whether that's through higher education or any of these other things that we've talked about, that is on all of us to be proud of and continue together to be able to perpetuate for the next generation.
So higher education is your flag that you're waving, clearly. Your married name is Kunalakis. What was your maiden name?
My maiden name is actually even more difficult to say, Sakopoulos, which starts with a T. Yeah, what can I say? I will say this, Lily. When I was out on the campaign trail, someone said to me, you know what? Everybody these days has a funny name. I decided I was going to vote for the woman with the funny name.
Right on.
So that's the world we live in right now. So that's what I'm going with.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great speaking with you. I hope our paths will cross again.
Anytime, Lillian. Thank you very much for the opportunity to check in with you and your listeners.
To learn more about Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on Today's Show. After a quick break, I'll speak with KVCR listener Debbie Schnorr about how she continues to educate children about nutrition and gardening during this pandemic. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Debbie Schnorr. She's also referred to as Debbie the Garden Lady. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you, Lillian. Glad to be here.
You know, I've been asking listeners to share what's changed in their world since coronavirus invaded our world. And you did. You submitted your story. You went to our website. Thank you so much and submitted it. It's at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. So let's begin at the beginning. What is your primary job and how or what changed?
I am a Food Corps service member, and I am serving at Phelan Elementary School in Phelan, which is in the high desert near Victorville.
And so what was your primary job? What did you do at your primary job?
I do teach nutrition, cooking, and gardening lessons. And also, there are three parts to my service. One is the hands-on lessons. One is healthy school meals. So as service members, we try to steer students toward the healthiest options and get them excited to try new foods. And we do fruit and vegetable tastings. And then we also try to instill a school-wide culture of health. So we encourage the whole school community to eat and celebrate healthy food.
So obviously, with school not in session, you're not able to do those same things. When school was in session, how did you go about doing all the things that you just described? How did you work with the students?
I taught all the grades from kindergarten to fifth grade, usually every 2 to 3 weeks. And we had different lessons on, for instance, like mindful tasting, using the five senses to eat different kinds of fruit, making fruit salads and bean dips, learning the health benefits of different colors of fruits and vegetables, things like that. And then also we had some lessons that were in the garden. So we were growing a vegetable garden and also have a greenhouse.
And then every 2 weeks, we would do the vegetable tastings in the cafeteria. And there were a lot of volunteers that helped with the garden and the tastings.
How many students were you working with? Is it just in the one school or in throughout the
district?
Yeah,
just in the one school. And this was the first year that that school had the Food Corps program. And the enrollment is about 600 students.
So Food Corps has this program where there are more like you that go into other schools and do something similar?
Correct. We started with about 30 Food Corps service members in California, and I believe there's over 200 in the U.S.
All right. Well, obviously, I'm guessing the change was with the students not there and nobody at the school site. What was your plan B, or what did you come up with?
So the plan B is to do video lessons, and that's why I started my YouTube channel, Miss Debbie the Garden Lady. And also, I started a remote garden in Rancho Cucamonga, where I live, because about a month after the school shut down, only essential personnel were allowed on the campus, and I wasn't able to tend the garden anymore.
So you literally had a garden there on the campus, and so now you've created one in your backyard, or you're using your backyard for shooting your now YouTube channel?
I am using the Route 66 community garden as my garden. And so I've rented an 8-foot by 4-foot raised bed in that garden.
I'm guessing with the Route 66, it's R-O-O-T instead of R-O-U-T-E?
Yes, R-O-O-T, 66 garden. And it's a wonderful space. It's a large piece of city property. It's off of Day Creek Boulevard between Foothill and the 15. Hmm. And there's also beehives and a small vineyard on the property. It's really a hidden gem.
Nice. Now you're working in that garden and you've started your YouTube channel. Did you know what you were doing when you started shooting yourself to record your voice and your face? Or did you have somebody helping you? What was that process for you?
No, I did not know anything about doing videos. Fortunately, my daughter is a filmmaker in LA. And so
that is fortunate.
She came over and we did a very long day of shooting, and she did the initial editing of the videos. But I was lucky that both Food Corps and my school offered classes in how to use video editing software. So I'm using iMovie and WeVideo
to edit
my videos. So yeah, I'm becoming a video editor.
Very good. What are you recording the YouTube show on? Are you using your phone?
Yes, I'm using my phone. Actually, iPhones have very good quality.
You're right, they do. So now
you could do anything with an iPhone these days.
Your daughter helped you and got a few of them started in editing. Now, are you setting up the phone yourself now and talking to it by yourself? Or are you still having somebody record it for you?
No, I'm doing it myself. Food Corps purchased a ring light for me, so it's a stand with lighting. So I've been using that, and I bring it out to the garden, and every step of the way as I developed the garden, I was filming it so I can show the students exactly what you need to do to plant a garden.
Hello, Phelan Falcons. This is Miss Debbie, the garden lady, and I'm coming to you from our new garden in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And today I'm going to be putting soil and amendments in our planting bed.
Let me reintroduce. My guest is Miss Debbie, the garden lady. She is talking about how her life has changed, her work life for sure, has changed with COVID-19 and the adjustments she's made to keep children or young people informed about growing a garden and working in a garden. Let me just ask you, what are your lessons? What are your plans? What are you trying to convey to the students?
There's a lot of different things. So some of the lessons that I've done are, one is called Bean Buddies. And so what we do there is we take a green bean seed and put it in a paper towel and then put it in a plastic bag and hang it on a window. And then you can actually watch the bean seed grow over a period of weeks. So you can see how the roots develop and the leaves develop. So, you know, talking about gardening and plant growth, also cooking, the students really love the cooking lessons.
Today's food court lesson is called Quick Pickle That. And we're going to learn how to preserve vegetables by pickling. And it's really fun to make your own pickles, and easy too, because you can choose whatever vegetables and spices you like.
One of my video lessons was all in for applesauce. So it's just really a simple way to make a homemade applesauce without any added sugar. And it was something, it's a food core lesson, and I had never actually done it myself before I filmed it. So, and I found out how easy and delicious it is to make your own applesauce.
Well, you're pretty daring to not have practiced it or done it once before doing it before. that's pretty good. Now, you're not recording these live, right? They're not, you record them and then you edit them and then they play.
That's correct. At our school, a lot of our students don't have a reliable internet connection at home,
right,
and they have difficulty participating in online learning. So I think just having the videos that they can listen to, maybe even on a parent's phone, when they do have a connection available, is a better way to teach the kids at our school.
What are you hoping the students will learn? Or is it just to enjoy the garden, just to, you know, you were talking about some of the foods and the bean buddies and the growing and the cooking. What do you want them to go away with? What do you want them to leave with?
Really an appreciation for where their food comes from and how it's made and how plants grow to give them the food. And also to realize that healthy food is accessible to them, that you don't have to have a lot of money to make simple, healthy foods.
What's your background before you were doing this? Obviously, you're going to be the new Martha Stewart, but before you took this on, what was your background in? Is your background in gardening? What's your education in?
My first career was mechanical engineering, believe it or not. I spent 25 years working for large corporations as an engineer. And after doing that, at the beginning of 2017, I decided to retire from engineering. I really felt like something was missing from my life. I originally started out in biomedical engineering, and I wanted to kind of return to my roots and do something with a higher purpose where I could directly serve people. So I've been interested in food and nutrition for a long time, and I did home gardening for about 20 years. Somehow, this led me to public health because I realized that I could focus on nutrition and public health. So I ended up going back to school at the University of Minnesota, and I completed a Master of Public Health degree in community health promotion last June. As I mentioned before, my daughter lives in LA, and I thought my graduation was the perfect opportunity to move from Minneapolis to sunny Southern California. And so that's what I did. The winters in Minnesota can be really brutal, and I was just getting to the point where I did not want to go through another winter.
Well, Minnesota's loss is our gain and our students' gain here in the Phelan area. So
thank you.
Thank you for doing that. I do want to say that we have met, right? I think you came out to the one remote that we had at Farmers Market in Redlands. I remember talking to you.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah, I heard it on the radio that morning. I think it was probably about 9 a.m. And I jumped out of bed and I said, oh, I've got to go and meet Lillian. So, yeah, I did that. And I had never been to Redlands before.
I'm guessing you were probably an NPR listener or a public radio listener in Minnesota, and I think you mentioned that you looked for it as soon as you got to this area for the local NPR station. Is that right? Did I get that right?
That's correct. That's correct. I listen every morning and evening.
Oh, great. Well, we're so glad to have you as a listener, hopefully a member, and I'm so glad to hear your story, and thank you so much for sharing it with us. Are you going to continue doing the series?
I am going to, this is my first and last year of service with Food Corps.
Oh.
So I end in early July. And I don't have another position yet, but ideally I'd like to continue my work in food and garden education, but it's going to look very different, I think, for the foreseeable future because of the social distancing measures. But, you know, now that I've learned how to do videos and learned how to do the distance learning software, I think I'm ready for online teaching and learning if that's what it takes. So.
Well, wonderful. I think we better talk to Martha Stewart and tell her to move over. There's a new garden lady in town. Miss Debbie, the garden
here.
Miss Debbie, the garden lady, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Lillian. It's been a pleasure.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories, play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name.
To learn more about Debbie Schnorr and to view her YouTube channel, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. I'd like to take a few seconds right now to thank you for listening to the show over the last 2 years. Hosting and producing Lifestyles has been an absolute joy. Having the show allows me the ability to connect with so many in our community and beyond. But now I'm asking you to support Lifestyles and all the other wonderful shows you hear on KVCR. I love and value this station, and I hope you do as well. Please take a few minutes right now and make that important contribution. Call 877-512-8843. That's 877-512-8843. Or join us at our website at kvcrnews.org. Thanks so much for listening and for your support. Join me and become a member today. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. If you have a topic or an idea for a segment, leave me a message at our website, you know it, kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.